Wow, what an introduction. Never get that on a Sunday in our church. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. You can refresh yourself with some cake now. Fantastic. When Jo invited me over, I was clearly going to say yes, but when she said there was cake, I was like, I'm there. My Facebook message was immediate, kind of, show me the cake. So I just want to introduce myself a little bit so you know who I am. I'm Sian, I'm 35 years old. I know I don't look it. I've been a pastor for 10 years now in Lincoln. Before that, we were in London for 4 years. And it's a really interesting journey being a pastor, and we absolutely love what we're doing. We got married. I got married like a month after I turned 21. So I was really, really young getting married. So I didn't even think about children for about 7 or 8 years. And then we said, well, maybe we should crack on and have some, because that's what people seem to do. So we've now got 3 children, 7-year-old, 5-year-old, 3-year-old. And that's always fun. I had a really fascinating day with them today. I'll just share this a little bit just to kind of let you know that everyone's perfectly normal. I dropped my 2 girls off at different birthday parties. They're very kind of, they've got parties all the time. How many of you know that children have more of a social life than you do? Like, genuinely, I hardly ever go to parties, but my kids go to parties. And so I had this son and mummy date with my son. He's 5 years old, and he's the middle one, so we just kind of forget he kind of exists, and he, you know. So I sat there with him, and he had a hot dog, and I had a kind of curry, and we just sat there, and I was watching this mum with this brand new baby at the table. And you know when babies just don't stop crying? Like, there's no reason why they're crying. She's going, oh, it must be because he's hungry. Bottle, no, crying. Must be because he's, no, crying. And these older people around them were doing that awful kind of, oh. And you want to sympathise, don't you? You want to kind of give that look of, I know what you're going through. But I don't know how to really do that look without looking like we're all looking at the baby that's crying. So I was kind of going, oh. And then I was looking at my 5-year-old thinking, well, at least he doesn't scream anymore. And, you know, I've passed that season now. I don't have brand new babies. So I was kind of doing that whole, I'm really pleased I'm no longer in that season. And then it got to the point where my son needed the toilet. And how many of you know with boys, they don't want to go in a girl's toilet. But when you're the only one there with them, and I said, no, you have to go in the ladies' toilet. I don't want to go in the ladies' toilet. You have to go in the ladies'. I can't go in there. You have to go in the men's. And and it was so much so, the whole kind of area was just staring at us by this point. Now I'm thinking, I wish I had a newborn. I wish I had a newborn. I wish I had a newborn. So in the end, I ended up wrestling him by his torso. He's quite a heavy kid. And dragging him in all the time. He's screaming, but I have a willy! You go in the ladies' toilet! So that was my afternoon. But just so you know, we're all perfectly normal and slightly deranged as well. So that's the season. And we're talking a little bit about seasons this evening, if that's okay. The fact that sometimes you go through a season and you think, I'm glad I've left that season behind. But hello, I now have this season that I'm currently in. And I don't know if this should work. I'm going to click along and it should come to the first one. Fantastic. We're going to pretend like we're clicking and you're going to click along for me. The first slide. Is it coming on? Oh, it didn't come up there. Okay, excellent. Okay. Now, like Jo said, spring, it's first day of spring. I don't know about you, but I'm really pleased to see the sunshine. Like, genuinely, I feel like winter's gone on forever. And we've got all these different seasons going on, haven't we? And kind of, you look at autumn, you think autumn's just beautiful. You've got this beautiful time, all the leaves change. And it's kind of like a shedding off of the old. The leaves kind of drop. And what was once healthy and vibrant, but it's no longer needed. And then we go along to the next one, which is winter. I'm going to leave this alone. I'm just going to go like that. There we are. It's like magic. And winter represents kind of cold, decay. And let's really be honest, this is what winter should look like. This is what the winter we've had. That's the next one. That means click on. There we are. That's more like the winter that we've had. And it's just been like this miserable kind of season, hasn't it? Of like nothingness. And it can be like kind of, you know, you have to just put up with it. We have to put up winter to get to the next one, which is amazing. Spring. Spring is here, people. We can finally go to the park instead of going to smelly soft plays. And, you know, we're it's spring and new buds have started to replace the old leaves. And there's just this beautiful, you know, the birds have suddenly appeared out of nowhere and they're just singing at silly o'clock in the morning. You know, how many of you like shoot the bird? We like the birds as long as it's not like 4:30 in the morning. Silly birds. Anyway, I'll have a chat with God about that when I get up there. Okay, and then we've got the beautiful one. So we've got the summer, which is just to be enjoyed, isn't it? Like the beauty of summer. And, you know, as we enjoy summer, we love the kind of glory and the sunshine. That's if it does carry on being sunshine and doesn't turn into rainy season like it sometimes does. But no matter like how comfortable we feel in any of these seasons, I personally love spring or autumn. I like the change. I like the fact we're now heading towards winter and we're heading towards Christmas. After Christmas, it should automatically on January the 2nd turn to spring for me. So I love the change and I love the beauty of that. But the truth is you cannot skip a season. You cannot go straight from summer to winter. You have to go through every single season. And that's a bit like our life. And, you know, I just want to show this beautiful image, if you go to the next one. This image of there's nothing and then suddenly there's something that's come up, some new life. And that's what I want to kind of look at today. Bill Hybels said this. He said, learn to shed the season when it's time. Don't live in an old season when it's time to move on. Look at this image. Something in the land of nothing has suddenly started to bud. Something in the land of just soil and nothingness, something has started to grow. And you know, when God created the world and there was that awful moment where God's relationship with mankind broke down, there was just this nothingness and this disconnection between mankind and God. And before Jesus came along, for centuries, they weren't hearing from God. It was almost like it was this barren land. And then it says God sent his son, Jesus. And it says, historians say that when Jesus entered into the world, you know, we sing those carols, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. You know, we had these kind of beautiful images. Actually, in truth, apparently, Bethlehem was a little bit like modern day Iraq. Okay, so it wasn't the beautiful scene that you kind of imagine in your head. Jesus came into a world that was pretty broken and pretty messed up and pretty, you know, torn apart. And so Jesus arrives and he kind of just works under the radar as a carpenter's son for 30 years. And then it says that there's this beautiful moment where Jesus turns 30 and he gets baptized by John the Baptist. And then God kind of says, this is my son. And he goes, you know, into the desert, we know, 40 days of just being tested by the devil. And then it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, and somebody handed him a scroll. And he opened the scroll, and he says these amazing words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, in that day, what would have happened? He would have rolled the scroll up and then preached. Jesus didn't do that. He rolled the scroll up, he went, and he sat down. And he said, today, this has been fulfilled in your eyes. What he was saying, Jesus was saying, I'm it. I'm the sermon. I don't have to say anything more than that, other than I have come and I've come to deal with all the stuff that has happened because of your broken relationship with God. That's what Jesus was saying. And we then see 3 years of amazingness of God walking the earth, healing people, dealing with these issues, and setting captives free. Have you ever seen Narnia? Do you love Narnia? I love the film Narnia. I love the books, but I also love the new adaptations of it. And in the very first Narnia, you see, don't you? Narnia is winter. It's always winter. It's never Christmas. And there's this kind of barren, it's beautiful, but it's barren land. And when Aslan appears, spring starts to come. And there's that imagery. C.S. Lewis is an amazing Christian. His point was Aslan was Jesus. And, you know, when Aslan appeared, the kind of the spell of winter was broken. And that's exactly when I look at this image, I think of a barren land, a barren world. And when Jesus came, spring broke through winter. And I think it's incredible today, on the day that is the start of spring, that we just examine that in our lives and say, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me? Like Bill Hybels said, we need to shed the old season. It's like taking off an old coat. I can't wait till I can like get rid of my winter coat and not have to, you know, put a million layers on the children and put a million layers on myself. And I don't know about you, but I've got really frizzy hair. So every time I go out and there's moisture in the air, I'm like, ah. I'm looking forward to just a really lovely season now of not having to layer up, because I'm ready for a new season. I'm ready to shed the old, ready for the new. And spiritually, I think, you know, we need to realize where we stand with this. In Revelation, Jesus said these amazing words: "Look, I make all things new." All things new. Another thing I love about this is that that word new, what he's saying is, I'm not going to screw up the old and throw it away. The term new, what he's saying there is a recycling word. What it means is, I'm going to bring restoration. I'm going to take something and I'm going to take the very bits that make that something what it is, and I'm going to restore it back to its former glory. And I really believe that's what God wants to do in our lives. How many of you like Homes Under the Hammer? Anybody? I love it. I love houses. Every time I go to somebody's house, and it's probably like socially inappropriate to do this, but I start going up to the bedrooms and have a look around because I want to see what the property looks like. I love properties. I love houses. But what I love about Homes Under the Hammer is they're taking something that's probably not even good enough to be on an estate agent's thing. It's got to go to auction. You know, it's got to be sold quickly. And owners take it and they make it like new. They make it look beautiful. They take something old and they make something beautiful out of it. And I believe that's a little bit like what God does in our lives. He takes something that maybe other people don't think is that valuable, but he sees absolute treasure in it, and he turns it into something beautiful. I believe God wastes nothing in our lives. I believe there's nothing in our lives that he just says, no, I'm going to throw that little bit away. Nothing. Nothing about our past does he take and he throw away. Nothing. And I just want to kind of look at that, the past, the present, and the future. If you go to the next one, past. He says these amazing words in Psalm 56, verse 8. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Did you know that even when we go through really hard times, sometimes people imagine God to do this. When it's really getting really bad, God does this. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. And then when it gets really good, God appears again. Sometimes that's in our image, isn't it? We think God maybe goes a bit quiet when things are going tough in our life. The truth is, what this verse is saying is, every single time you've shed a tear, every single time your heart is broken, I know, I have been there. And not only that, but I have recorded every single bit of that in my book. Nothing is wasted. I see every single moment in your life. And I've got to be honest, God is the only one you can trust with your past. He's the only one that can take something that you think, what good can come out of this? Seriously, what good can come out of that situation? And God says, let me show you. Let me show you what good can come out of it. I once listened to this woman's testimony, incredible testimony, and, you know, ridiculous stuff she went through when she was little, and abuse and everything. And she said, when she came to God, she said, you know, what could God do with that? I was absolutely broken. And I'd made so many bad decisions based on all of that rubbish that had gone on in the past. And she said, but what God did, he did something incredible. He didn't give me loads of answers as to why all that stuff happened, but he created a healing within me. She said, so when I looked back on those situations, it was like, she said, have you ever watched the film Jaws? And the thing that's most scary about Jaws and the shark and the big teeth is that you've got this sound. You know, that kind of awful, haunting kind of, oh my goodness, something awful is going to happen. And she said it was a little bit like that. It's like she could see what had happened in the past, but the sound had gone off. That scary kind of thing that was going to haunt her and make her just absolutely wrapped in fear. She said, I could see it. I hadn't forgotten it, hadn't forgotten things had happened, but it no longer had a hold over me. It no longer had me trapped in a fear. And I think that's exactly what God wants to do in our lives. So our past, we can trust it with God. Our present, I love the different seasons. I love looking at the different seasons in nature, but also in our lives. Have a think about what season you're in right now, looking at those images. Winter, spring, summer, autumn. Do you know what? There's no point having a tantrum about what season you are in right now. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I once spent 5 years in a winter season, genuinely. And, you know, it felt like everything was going horribly wrong. And I remember just literally almost stamping my foot to God going, you've got to sort this out. I can't cope. And he was like, you know, you've just got to go through the season. You have to go through the season and you have to learn to do it well. So let's look at autumn. Although the picture is beautiful of autumn, I'm not sure trees really like autumn. I've not talked to them recently. I'm not one of those kind of people. But my kids say the trees get naked. They're obsessed with nakedness at the moment. But, you know, the trees get naked. They've lost all their leaves, basically. And I don't think it's the most beautiful moment in the tree's life to be naked. Yet there's a moment where they have to, these leaves that have sucked up all of the sun's energy, that have created all the nutrients, that have, you know, done all this work. It's a time when those leaves can no longer do the work anymore, so they're shed. And it's a moment of stripping off. It's a moment of just losing some old stuff that you just don't need anymore in your life. And that's not a very nice season to go through sometimes, because sometimes we like some of those things, don't we? Let's be honest. I like some stuff that actually I think it probably needs to go, but it's a little bit comfortable because that's what I really like. If I had to like ask you right now to name three things that would sum you up, some of you probably kind of use words like, I'm a mum, or I'm a daughter, or I'm a banker, or I'm a boss, or I'm a teacher. And we use words, don't we, to create our identity. So that's what would sum me up, my job that I do, or who I am to somebody else. That kind of sums us up. And that can often be our identity, can't it? Well, that's who I am. But what happens if some of that goes? What happens if some of that falls off? What happens if we lose some of that in our life? It leaves you in a very vulnerable kind of, well, what does that make me then? You know, and I think women kind of maybe go through, I don't know, is this sexist to say? I don't know. I'm going to say it anyway and don't crucify me. But I think women do sometimes have to go through a few more identity crises than men because so many different things happen and change in our lives. And actually, we've got to learn to say, well, maybe these things are so important in my life, but they don't sum up who I am. That doesn't sum up who I am. It's who I am to other people, and I understand that. But it doesn't sum up who I am. It's not my full identity. Our identity is so wrapped up sometimes, and God just wants to sometimes strip some of that off. And it's a little bit painful. It's a little bit uncomfortable. Nobody likes being naked. It's a little bit vulnerable. But actually, what God wants to do then is say, I'm just making some way for some new growth. Just making a way for some new growth. Let it go. Let it go. I'm not going to sing, don't worry. And you've got to learn to do it well, because you know what? Autumn's going to come back around sometime again. Every single season comes around again. So we've got to learn to do the seasons well. The next one, winter. Oh, sorry. No, back. Go back. There we are. Sorry, I didn't realise it was still on the same slide. Okay, winter. Sometimes we have to go through times in our life where you've just got to get through it. Have you ever been through a season in your life where you've just got to get through it? It's survival mode. Yeah, you just wish you had an autopilot button. You could press it and that person could just make it happen and you could just, you know, almost duck out of that season. It's a desolate place where nothing seems to grow. Nothing seems to happen. Nothing. Nothing's fruitful. Like you say, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing it and I'm doing it. I'm not seeing any fruit. I'm doing this and this doesn't seem to be working. And in my head, if I 1 + 1 = 2, yet this doesn't seem to be working. There's just nothingness. It's a nothingness. But you know what? There's a beauty in this season that we need to dig down and find, because this winter is going to come again and again and again in our lives. And the beauty of it is we have to learn to dig down deep into God to keep warm. And there's a depth that you can go to in God in winter that will actually sustain you through other seasons as well. We've got to dig down deep into God. New depths of his grace, of his mercy, of his peace, of his kindness. When people aren't saying good things about you right now, or people aren't, you know, giving you lots of affirmation, you've got to dig down deep. What does God say about me? God says he loves me. God says I'm precious in his sight. God says, God says, God says. And we dig down deep. I said before, I went through 5 years of winter and it felt like I said to God, why do you allow nature's seasons to last about 3 months? And mine seems to last forever. And I was having a proper, you know, and I just found a whole new depth in God at that time. And there was a moment when God really broke through in that situation. And can I be totally honest? This was my kind of, I just did this in the kitchen floor. God had broken through. And I literally stayed on my kitchen floor. It's not very clean, by the way. It never is. But I stayed on my kitchen floor for possibly about an hour. Just lying there. Just thinking about everything. Thinking about the winter. Thinking about everything that had just gone on. And I lay there. I was amazed by God. God had done something incredible. And I knew the next season was about to come. But I knew I had to leave all my disappointment and all my bitterness on the floor. Because you have to. You could drag it into the next season, but it's kind of going to ruin things. There's some things that you go through that build character and build perseverance and build grit and build who you are. And if you don't leave it on the floor, if you don't leave some of this negativity, because you could say to people, well, do you know what I've been through? And for the next 5 years, you can say, do you know what I've been through? Do you know? And everyone's going, we do. Because you keep saying it. And it almost kind of loses its power. When your testimony becomes more about you than it becomes about what God has done for you, I'd say that you haven't left some stuff on your kitchen floor. And it's so important that we get up and we leave the negativity, because that's what the devil wants to do. Any good thing that God does in your life, he'll wrap it with something else. He'll create some kind of counterfeit. Well, you know, the reason why you were in that situation in the first place is because God doesn't love you. He'll throw all that rubbish at you and you're just going to say, oh, get lost. You know, look what happened to you. Really, sometimes you generally got to have a conversation with the devil and say, just seriously, you know where you go, where you belong, just go and get out of my life. But it's so important that we move on from those seasons in strength, in beauty. I'm not talking about putting your lippy on, and you know, mind you, sometimes people need to put their lippy on to kind of make them feel better. But to me, I have to think, do you know what? I have to do this well. I have to do it well because I've got other women, I've got other people looking at my life saying, gosh, she's just walked out of that season. And she doesn't smell like smoke. You know that in the fiery furnace, the three men, they weren't burnt. God saved them. But it also says they didn't smell like smoke either. Not even a smell of smoke on them. And sometimes when you've gone through a really fiery season, sometimes it's even great to walk out and not even smell of it. And just say, God, I know what you've done in me. I know what you've done in this situation. Incredible. Winter is an incredible season. Spring is new life, and it's beautiful, and it's time to breathe and just say, God, you've got some amazing new things. How many of you are in spring right now where you just feel God's just birthing some dreams in you, some possibilities? And it's a bit like buds have come in. You know, he stripped some stuff off, but there's some new buds that have come into place. And can I tell you something that I was thinking about this. Maybe I've gone a bit too far in nature in my head. But I was thinking, isn't it incredible when buds are really tiny and really vulnerable and really fragile, that the weather isn't too extreme? It's not too hot. It's just right to nurture this new life. And I really feel God wants to say tonight that there's some people that you've got some dreams on your heart, and it's really important you nurture it and you look after it. They're very fragile right now. When something's brand new and birthing in you, it's very fragile. And you have to really look after it. You have to feed it the right stuff. Feed it faith. When God has promised you or given you a dream for something, feed it faith. Spend time with people who you know have just done incredible things for God and allow them to help you feed it. Read some amazing things. Listen to podcasts. Listen to people of God. And just trust those Christians around you. Can I share this with you? Can you pray about it with me? Let's see these dreams and these things come into reality. That's what spring is like. It's new life. It's beautiful. And it's ready for the next one, which is summer. And summer is incredible because it is a blessing. It's a time for blessing, isn't it? How many of us feel bad when you're in a time for blessing? Women are awful for that. Can I just say, that's a new top. That's a nice top. Yes, yeah, from the charity shop. Anything that anyone says about, you know, that you've almost got to bring it down to a level of, I don't want anyone to think that it's that I'm doing too well, or I don't want to, you know, we're really worried. And if somebody thinks you're doing that, you're in a season of blessing, sometimes you've got to say something negative so they know that your feet are still on the ground. And you know, it's not a bad thing to just feel good about the fact you're okay. Some women need a drama all the time. and create drama where there is no drama. If there's no drama in your life, great, love it. Because you're going to come into a new season soon where there might be some drama. So just enjoy a season of blessing. And our seasons of blessing are incredible because we can start to offer some other blessings out to people. Do you know what? Things are going really well for me. So can I just bless you with this? Can I just bless you with that? Can I bless you with my words? Can I bless you with my time? Can I just take you for a coffee? Can I just bless you? Because it's an opportunity to give out. It's an opportunity to just to share God's love. You know, in summer, I'm pretty sure squirrels or whoever, they or is it autumn where they start to collect their nuts. But you have to start collecting things ready for the time when maybe you won't have quite so much. And it's a little bit like that as well. Spiritually, I think we have to still kind of dig deep into God even when things are going well. How many of us go, God, everything's falling to pieces, so we cling to God. Everything starts going well. We're like, God who? Oh, yeah, I'd still go to church on a Sunday, but I don't feel like I need to spend as much time with God because things are going quite well at the moment. Well, the reason why things are going well is because you have God. And it's so important that we still dig down deep into God and we store up the goodness and we store it up ready for those times when things are going to feel a little bit hard. And what's inside you will be tested. What's inside you, what you've stored up, will be tested. It's important to be present in every season. Acknowledge it for what it is. Which one are you in? Acknowledge it. Don't have a tantrum about it. Acknowledge it and say, I recognize this is the season I'm in right now, so I'm going to just get as much out of it as I can because ready for the next season. And then if you go to the next one, look at the future. I love this verse. So we've talked about the past, the fact that God kind of doesn't waste anything. We've talked about the present, about what season we might be in. When you look at the future, it says this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Did you know that God has got such incredible things in store for you? He's got incredible things in store for your church, but he's got incredible things in store for you. For every single life in here, incredible things. Somebody said yesterday in a conference that we were at that we want to be thin, but we don't want to get thin. I thought, yeah. It was a real moment of revelation. I'm sure he said lots of other things that were very spiritual and theological. But the one thing I heard was, we want to be thin, but we don't want to get thin. We want to be clever, but we don't want to get clever. We want to be disciplined, but we don't want to get disciplined. Because the getting bit is process and it's hard work and we have to try and change ourselves to be that. It's easier to be that than it is to get to be that. And the future and all these different things that we go through, all these different seasons that we go through, it's about process. It's about journey. It's about getting through the different seasons to get to the bit where God needs us to be. And when I look at those words, I think, wow, The Sean in 10 years' time needs to be a bigger person ready for what God has got in store. I cannot just pick myself up and plonk myself in 10 years' time because it would probably cripple me, the amount of stuff that God has got prepared for me. I need to grow through these next few years to what God has got. And that's the same for every single person. I just want to show a video in a moment. And this video I find incredible because it talks about the old is gone and the new is here. And I think we've just had that theme all the way through with the songs, with the, you know, and it's just incredible, a new creation. And the people that were looking at an image of themselves and thinking all is lost, God had a new image of them ready for them. So I just want to show you this video. And it's got some sound to it. Well done. For anyone that doesn't like silence, that was probably the most painful 4 minutes of your life. But there was just a song on in the background there about you make beautiful things. And the whole point of the video is these people that are trapped in whatever it was. There was a guy that was trapped with lust. There was a guy that was trapped with addiction. There was a woman trapped with gossip. There was another woman trapped with greed. That it took somebody else to come and take a photo and show them another way. Another part of themselves, maybe another side of themselves that they'd never seen before, and know that actually somebody sees them as something different to what they are now. And I just want to kind of, as I was praying about coming here tonight, and I felt that video was quite a powerful image of, God has got a new image of you. He's got a new way of looking at you that you've probably never seen of yourself before. And I just want to pray for you right now, if that's okay. So if you can just close our eyes. That hold, the old is gone. The new is here. And you might have looked at those seasons and thought, yeah, I can identify what season I'm in. It might be that you're in a really great season right now. Can I just encourage you, just keep digging down deep into God. He's still got so much more. What you perceive as good, God is saying, yeah, it is good, but I've got so much more. God's word said he has it in abundance. Whatever you can imagine and ask for, God is wanting to do immeasurably more than that. You might look at that image of winter and think, yeah, do you know what? I've been in a winter season for so long. Can I encourage you right now to dig down deep into God and find beauty in that season? I know it's really hard, but to find what God wants to do in you in that season. Because there'll be a time in the future when you're going to look back at that and say, wow, I experienced depths in God than I'd ever experienced before. And you can encourage other people that are just in that winter season as well. And you can say, just hold on, because I know spring is coming. I know new life is coming. And right now in winter, when you think of that frosty image and you think all life is gone, life hasn't gone. It's just buried at the moment. It's still there. It's still pulsing away. And whatever season you're in, and it might have been when I talked about the past and I talked about things that had gone on, and God's not going to waste it. But God wants you to know now that he just loves you and he treasures you. And if you could see yourself spiritually now, you know that you have a stamp of affirmation over your life that says that you belong to him. And there might be some people here tonight that probably don't even know they do belong to him. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard of the whole kind of Jesus thing and what God has done for you. Can I tell you, please, please, please don't go away from tonight not investigating what that's about for your life. Because there's a moment in your life when God unlocks and shows himself to you, and you can't always understand what it is. But when he reveals himself to you, and when he shows you who he is as your Lord and Savior and just the God that just wants to be in relationship with you, it all just seems to make sense. The future. God has got an incredible future for you. An incredible future for you. Maybe you stopped dreaming. I did once. You know, that's what winter will do for you. It will stop you dreaming, stop you even thinking and hoping. But God's saying it's time to dream again. It's time to start imagining what he can do. It's time to maybe dust off some of those promises that you felt he gave you once and never really happened. And God's saying, it's all in my timing. It's not in your timing. People in the Bible had to wait 40, 50 years sometimes with promises from God. And we moan sometimes when it's just been a few years. And God's saying, I'm just building you up. I'm just making you into the person you need to be to see that dream come into reality. And so tonight, I just want to breathe life back into those dreams. Breathe life in back into those promises of God. Start to see yourself as God sees you. A picture of life, a picture of hope, a shining light in a dark world. So Lord, I pray for every single person in this room right now. I pray that whatever season they are in right now, whatever situation, whatever level of relationship they are in with you, I pray, Holy Spirit, will you just come and will you just show yourself to them? Will you fill them with that passion again that they once felt in you? Will you show them your face? Will you show them the way that they need to go? I feel right now there's somebody that's been battling with a decision in this room, and you've been to-ing and fro-ing, and the whole idea of being on the fence is right there in your mind. And God's saying, you already know the way. You already know what to do. You know what is obedience for me. And although it's not the easiest path, although, yeah, it'll be hurtful. It might not be comfortable right now. that's what's going to have to happen in order for you to walk into what I've got for you. So the people that are struggling with guilt right now, there's guilt over past. Let me tell you, when Jesus died on that cross, he died to take away all of your shame, to take away your guilt. And as you come to him and you receive his forgiveness, he can lift that guilt off you. And maybe he's already done that, but you know what? You've picked that guilt back up again and you've placed it over your life. And yet God's word says it is for freedom that he came to set you free, not for slavery. He didn't come to set you free in order that you can be locked up again. He wants you to be free and to walk in freedom. So if that's you tonight, you just need to say to God, God, I'm going to walk in the freedom you came to bring me. I'm not going to lug around this guilt anymore, this shame anymore. So Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your life. And I pray as we walk forward from tonight, we will know that we're walking into that new season in you, a season of beauty, of new life, of hope, and of an incredible witness to a dark world that just are crying out to meet this God, crying out to meet their creator and their savior. In your mighty name, amen.